now. I hope you do. I'm Olivia, and I'm part of the Minerva Mag crew. And I have here with me Gabs again. She's one of our editors-in-chief and a predominant force in our podcast arena. And so good to have you back again, Gabs, as always.
As always, I am happy to be here.
And we're going to today talk about the Hugo Awards, which is a bit of a departure, but we thought a timely one. And it just gives me an excuse to listen to not one, but five completely new podcasts and judge them with my wealth of knowledge and experience, which is why we have Gabs here to help me actually judge with her wealth of knowledge and experience, because I clearly don't have it.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that I have a wealth of knowledge and experience.
But. More than me, for sure. What I was thinking of doing for this episode, we'll maybe do it a little bit differently, where we'll break down a little bit about what the Hugos are, and then run through the list of podcasts up for nomination. There's five of them this year. And kind of judge them on our own merit, if that sounds good to you, Gabs.
Yeah, that works for me.
Perfect. So for those of you who might not know, since I had to kind of look it up myself, I knew a little bit about the Hugos, but I wasn't well-versed in what they actually did or how they picked their nominees. So I have the website up here, and I'll just do a brief little rundown. The Hugos are a sci-fi and fantasy award, and I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you know Gabs, I believe they're kind of fan-nominated. Is that true, that you can nominate either your own work or another person's work, and it's a voting system, and you have to contribute to the Hugos to be a voter, and there are multiple categories. There's short novel, novella, fan cast, fanzine. There's a plethora of categories in the sci-fi fantasy world, and it's a huge honor to even be nominated, let alone to win. And it was really cool to delve into this side of the internet, because I have never really looked at the noms before. I've heard of the Hugo Awards, like I said, but I didn't really know about them and what it really entailed to be nominated.
I don't remember exactly what it is, but I think you have to be part of a specific group to be able to vote for the Hugos. And I think
yes.
There's a difference between being able to vote for, put something up for nomination and vote for it that way, and then actually get to vote on the official ballot when it's time to announce the awards.
Yes, I think that's true. I think you definitely have to be part of, I forget the name of the group. Let's see if I can find it on the website. But they did send out voter packets. Let's see.
It's like kind of crowdsourcing, because you don't have to be a super established person in the field necessarily to vote.
Right.
But then they don't just let anybody vote, so
exactly.
It's a little bit more picky, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's like kind of been one of the things that good and controversial about the Hugos, I guess, is because you get to vote for winners, then people can't complain about a, you know, board of out-of-touch people deciding on what the best books are. But
right.
Then at the same time, you then run into the issue of, well, people, just because people voted for it doesn't mean it's good. So
that's true.
I think awards, kind of no matter what they are, face criticism.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it says, members of the 2015 World Science Fiction Convention may vote until July 31st. So like you said, it's not open to everybody. I think you might have to pay to be a member, in fact.
I think that sounds right to me.
So you're right when you say it's not, you know, out of touch voters just picking the title that sounds the best. You know, these voters are invested in what they're voting for, but it is not, actually, I don't know how large the pool is before I make that blanket assumption that it's not a large voting pool. I'm not sure how many members there are. But, it's a particular voting pool. I guess I can say that. So that's just a little bit of background on the Hugos. And the podcast noms for this year are Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing, Dungeon Crawlers Radio, Galactic Suburbia Podcast, The Sci-Fi Show, Pi spelled P-H-I as in philosophy, and T in Jeopardy. And when I was doing my research, and we can talk about this later as we get into those two podcasts specifically, I noticed that last year, Galactic Suburbia and Tea and Jeopardy were both nominations for the 2014 Hugos, which I thought was very interesting. And there were seven in the category last year, because I think the website said something about there being a tie for nominations or something. Yeah.
Huh.
So, yeah. And we can talk about...
I'm glad we have to listen to seven podcasts.
I know. Five was good.
Five was what?
Yeah. I don't think it would have been so much, except that some of them were very long. which I'm not used to having listened to only two podcasts, really, and those were about half hour to an hour. Some of these were a little bit longer than that, which, you know, when you look at them at one end of the kind of marathon and you think, oh my goodness, I have a list of like 3 2-hour podcasts here. When will they fit into my day? But they're engaging and they go by pretty quickly. So do you have a particular order that you'd like to go in, Gabs? I was thinking we could just do the order that the Hugo website listed, if that's okay with you.
I think that's a good idea, because I think it keeps my own bias from leading the conversation in the order that I would like to discuss them.
Very fair. So I guess, okay, we'll jump right in with Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing. I loved this one. It wasn't the first that I listened to. I think I listened to it fourth in the run-up. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it catered to a lot of my personal interests, being a publishing student and having an interest in sci-fi, both from the writer's perspective and the publisher's perspective. So I thought it had a lot of elements that I really, really enjoyed. And I thought the hosts were engaging.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So this was an interview format,
mm-hmm.
and they talked to a different science fiction author each episode, basically. And I thought the same thing after I listened to the first episode. I thought, wow, this is interesting from a publishing perspective, because the first episode I listened to, they talked a lot about the publishing industry, but not in a way that I hear writers talk about the publishing industry a lot, where they're like, oh, publishers are just interested in this and this, and it's not fair or whatever, which is what you hear sometimes. But the writer who was talking about it actually had a super practical view and was kind of trying to help explain why these things nobody likes happen. And
right.
But then I also thought that I listened to another episode where it was a writer talking about some advice, and I thought, wow, this is great for people interested in publishing and people interested in writing, and I thought that was like a cool intersection of both topics.
Absolutely. And I also really liked, I think it was Lauren Ann Gilman who talked about this, but she even brought up being on panels as a writer and kind of promoting yourself in the con atmosphere and what that's like on both sides of the spectrum and how writers can do better with promoting not only their own work, but, you know, being engaging listeners in the sci-fi community and understanding each other and where they come from. So you're right. I think it came at the issues of publishing in the sci-fi community from a lot of different angles, which I really appreciated. And it gave me confidence to think that you can do both, be a writer and be in the publishing world.
It also made me happy that the writers they talked to, I know, are successful, clearly, because when they listed their accolades, I was like, all right, they've done a lot.
Yeah.
But as someone who's not super duper into the community, I always think it's a sign of good podcast or interesting show when I can listen to interviews with authors that I am not familiar with their work and still be interested in what they're talking about.
Yes.
Instead of only the authors that I'm interested in. So I really appreciated that aspect of the show as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it was to the credit of the authors for being engaging speakers or to the hosts for asking engaging questions, but yeah, I was thoroughly entertained throughout the episodes we listened to. I thought the authors were very interesting, never were at a loss for words, and just made you want to hear them talk more about their experience. And it didn't feel like it was an isolating experience either, I think, because sometimes you hear about authors and their experiences are so personal that maybe you can't relate to them or, you know, can't understand where they're coming from. But these authors let you into their world without isolating you.
I was going to say, maybe that was the appeal of these two particular episodes. We probably have to listen to more to say this is a trend of the show always. Mm. But they picked two authors who not only are successful writers, but who are engaged in communities.
Yes.
So, and I don't remember the name of the guy who wrote the Black Blade Blue.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of it. It's like the very first episode too. But he's really interesting because he writes a lot, but then he also runs a lot of workshops for writers and goes to a lot of conventions and gives advice and is very, very engaged.
Yes,
with the community as a whole.
J.A. Pitts.
Yeah, he was super interesting.
He was. I really liked him. Did you listen to Lauren Ann Gilman's podcast first or his podcast first? Or his episode, I should say.
I listened to his first.
Okay, because that's funny. I listened to them backwards. Maybe that was just how I downloaded them. But I was glad that it, that was kind of like a pattern between the two episodes, because I thought, oh, she's super interesting. And then I kind of heard the beginning of his and I said, oh, I hope he's not, in my head, I hope he's not a dud. But he wasn't.
Yeah. At all. I kind of did the same thing when I listened in the opposite direction. I was very happy with both of them.
Yes, me too. So I would definitely listen to more of episodes from this podcast. And they have 300 plus episodes. Just a little bit more background on them. They've been around since 2006, which I didn't know. And I guess that's the only other really fun fact I have that we haven't talked about. But they've been around for a while, which surprised me. And I don't know why it surprised me.
One thing I will say, so the Day I Picked episode, I thought that the introduction before the interview started, because that was the first episode I listened to, was kind of long.
It was.
And I was happy that he gave a shout-out to Lawrence, Kansas, because I'm from around that area. But I remember listening to that and thinking, like, oh my gosh, how much longer is he going to talk? This is kind of a lot.
Yeah.
But I think that was fairly, well, I mean, I don't know if it's fairly unusual. I hope it was unusual. I think the interviews themselves are great.
Yes.
And I don't know if that was just, like, a weird episode where he had a lot of stuff he had to introduce, and it just dragged a little bit.
Yeah, I felt that too. When he said, I'm going to stop talking now, I kind of said, thank God, because he did ramble a bit. And I think that isn't usual for them. I think the two hosts tag team together, but it sounded like it was her first solo interview, and then we just happened to listen to one where it was another solo interview on her part, and he kind of, they couldn't get together for the introduction for whatever reason. And he kind of did a solo intro and then let her have the reins for the interview, which is fine. But yeah, he was a little rambly at the beginning.
That's pretty much my main complaint. But I would say if you are interested in learning about the writing process, what it means to be a successful writer, how the publishing industry works, any of that stuff, then this is a good podcast to listen to. And the episodes aren't terrible. They're about an hour, a little less than an hour.
Yeah, I think the ones we listened to were about 45 minutes to an hour, so it's a reasonable podcast length, I think. And I'm going to actually use the segue from a few seconds ago. Speaking of guys who ramble, the next one on the list is Dungeon Crawlers Radio, which...
good segue.
Thank you. I thought it was fitting.
Dungeon Crawlers Radio was another interview format, but I thought it was an interesting example of an interview format not quite working. I was interested in it because they're not necessarily just talking to authors. One of the ones we listened to, they talked to some board game makers, which I thought would be really interesting. But I think, like, I'm going to say the fatal flaw of this podcast, because I don't plan on listening to any more of it, was that the intro and the outro were both far too long.
Yes.
And I guess I ran into several problems with this, but I think my main gripe about it, as someone who is now trying to produce podcasts on my own, I know my audio editing skills aren't great or anything, and it is a long process, but I didn't really like how they would just leave these giant gaps of silence into the podcast. It was really striking several times where I remember the first episode I listened to, I think it was the board game episode, where a couple of the guys had kind of experienced it, and so he's like, oh, let me ask you some questions before we interview the makers. I thought, sure, that'll be interesting. But then the conversation ended up being, so what did you think about it? And there's this long pause. That was cool. Good, that sounds good. I was like, oh my gosh, please stop this. So I thought that was interesting that they didn't go back and chop out stuff like that doesn't actually make for interesting airtime.
Yeah, and that's actually a point that I didn't notice on my own until you brought it up, and then when you mentioned it, I became incredibly aware of it.
Like, sorry about that.
No, it's good, because I wouldn't have thought, I don't have the editing podcast part of my brain anywhere, so having that brought up from someone who knows how to edit podcasts, it's an interesting thing to note, and I don't know if it's an intentional decision on their part, or if they just don't want to edit their podcasts. I think it would be interesting to see if it's a thing that happens in a lot of their episodes, or if that was a fluky one. Full disclosure, that's the only one I listened to, because it just wasn't my cup of tea.
I did actually listen to two of them, and I ran into that problem with the second one. Do you remember the like the quiz that they gave at the end of the, can you answer these like 10 geeky questions sort of thing?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so in the second one that I listened to, they were talking to an author, so he didn't have anyone to help him out. And they asked him questions, and then he did what I would expect myself to do, is to go, oh, and then, you know, try to think of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they let him sit there and ponder for way too long and say, I don't know, I have to think about it, maybe this, I don't know. And at some point I was like, okay, I think it's a responsibility as an interviewer, if you're doing, especially like a quiz like that, where you kind of just want to knock through it really quickly, if they're having trouble thinking of something, to either help them or to just cut them off and say, okay, we're moving on to the next question.
Yeah, or just edit that question out completely when you're doing the editing later. Because it is flustering to get a question asked of you on the spot and then not having a ready, loquacious answer, which I can understand. But as you said, you're right. As a responsible podcast host, letting your interviewee flounder just seems cruel.
I know, it's because I'm like, throw him a bone, help him out, guys!
So yeah, and I was actually surprised, that was not an eloquent segue at all, I was thinking about that they get 170,000 listeners, I think weekly, which surprised me, because they only have 232 episodes, and they've been around since 2008, but that just seemed like an insane number of fans, just because I guess I wasn't a fan. But I guess, you know, a lot of people like it, and it's worth listening to if you like their style. I particularly did not, and I was also frustrated that halfway through the episode about games, they realized that one of their co-hosts is named Scotty, and that it was an opportunity for a lot of Scotty jokes. And I was like, you've had this person on your crew for how long? You're just realizing this about, like, the Star Trek reference? Really? I'm not even a Trekkie and I know this reference.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the show is better if you start listening to it earlier on, and then you kind of, like, get into their groove and, like, know what they're about. But as someone just coming in, I did not find it that compelling. And I also totally have a very, very biased moment that happened to me that I would like to share while I was listening to the podcast that turned me against it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry if this upsets anybody, but it's just my opinion, so it's okay. When I was listening to the episode, they were waiting for their interviewer, so there's like, oh, we'll like chat, kill some time, which is fine. And they started talking about Wolverine and how Hugh Jackman had been Wolverine for, you know, almost 20 years now. He's finally going to retire, and we need to figure out who the next Wolverine's going to be. And then one of them made a comment that pissed me off, where they just snidely said, oh, the next Wolverine should be a woman or a black guy. And then everyone was like, yeah, haha, that's really stupid. Wolverine should definitely never be a woman or a black guy. And I was like, really, guys? Is that quite necessary to say? Like,
yeah.
Why can't Wolverine be a woman or a black guy?
Wow.
I don't really understand why that's a problem. And then I will say about 2 or 3 days after I listened to that episode, I got on Twitter and saw that some X-Men comics are doing a reboot where they make a female clone of Wolverine. And now she's, like, out Wolverine-ing it up. So there is, in fact, going to be a female Wolverine in the comic book world for anyone who's interested.
Well, first of all, that is fantastic, and I'm so glad that you told me that, because that's really exciting. And second of all, it goes to show how little I was paying attention, because I don't think I heard and or registered that they even had that conversation about Wolverine. I mostly remember them talking about different versions of the Joker at the end and whether they thought that Jared Leto was going to be a good Joker and the whole, like, what people thought about Heath Ledger when he was the Joker and who's everyone's favorite Joker was and how some people really liked Mark Hamill and some people really liked Jack Nicholson. And I think my ears just perked up at the word Joker because I really like hearing about that character and about different representations of that character in the media, because Heath Ledger's Joker was my introductory Joker and I want to learn more about it. And I've heard good things about Mark Hamill's Joker. And I think my ears perked up again when they were talking about Mario and that world. But yeah, I totally didn't even store in my short-term memory, let alone long-term memory, anything about Wolverine.
Yeah, I remember that and then held on to it as a grudge for, well, you know, until today. So. Mm-hmm.
No, that's I understand grudge holding, and yeah, that would not have rubbed me the right way had I even registered that they said that, because that's kind of uncool to say.
Yeah.
And to make a joke about it.
No, it's just like, it's dismissing people who very seriously believe that we need more representation of those types of people, and then you're just, like, dismissing them. And I thought, I mean, maybe that was, and again, like, I'm sure people could say, like, I'm taking it too seriously, but if they make those sorts of comments in other episodes, then that could potentially tell you, like, whether or not using it, like, you know, you as the listener to the Virgin Podcast would be interested in listening to it if that sort of stuff bothers you or not.
Yeah.
And whether you're cool with, like, guys just shooting the shit and potentially saying stuff like that, or whether you're like, nah, I don't really want to listen to people who make jokes like that.
Right, yeah, and it could be, you know, they might be saying it earnestly in jest, and they might not hold any kind of beliefs like that true, and maybe that's their type of humor, and you'd get more of that, a better understanding of that as you listen to more of them, but
yes.
I don't appreciate those jokes, even if that is your type of humor, so I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it is a good point to bring up if it's something that a listener would not like.
If anyone out there listens to Dungeon Crawlers Radio and you listen to that episode and you're like, no, this is what they do, they actually, like, are pro that, please let me know, because I don't, like, want to dislike this podcast. It was just something that rubbed me the wrong way. So
yeah.
I'm happy for someone who's listened to 100 episodes to tell me that they've listened to 100 episodes about something else. But
right.
Just my impression.
No, and I think that that's important because, yeah, this... I don't think this is a podcast for everybody. It definitely wasn't for me. But if you like it and you'd like to talk about it or defend it in the comments, please do, because we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, just remember not to attack us. Because
yes, please.
We're not attacking you, so that'd be nice.
Yes, yeah. We're all friends here. We can all geek out together, kindly.
We can all like different podcasts in harmony.
Exactly. That's why there are so many of them. So now I'm going to inelegantly segue to our third podcast on the list, which is Galactic Suburbia. And it's
okay.
Funny that they paired them together in the list, because I feel like these are polar opposites of each other. Just
I kind of had the same thought.
Because, you know, we're Dungeon Crawlers, it's primarily two guys just talking, and as Gab said, shooting the shit. This is three women just talking and shooting the shit. And I listened to the feminist episode first, so... It was like a complete 180, because I had listened to Dungeon Crawlers right before that. So it was like, okay, now we're doing something completely different. And I believe the episodes we listened to were basically just conversation. They pick a topic and just kind of roundtable discussion it the way we're doing. I don't believe it's an interview format.
I don't think it is.
At least the episodes we listened to weren't. I think these women are awesome. I think they're really cool.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about Galactic Suburbia. I like the hosts, and I really like what they're doing. I super appreciate a podcast hosted by women, and I really appreciated their feminist episode as a way of giving resources to people who need them. But then at the same time, that particular episode, at least, was not directed toward me, because a lot of the sources they were talking about I am already familiar with and have explored.
Mm.
The episode started feeling a little redundant to me, because they were just listing, I mean, it was great, they were, you know, listing feminist sources for anyone who's interested, but then for me, I was kind of like, oh, you know, I've read that, I've heard of that, I've seen that. So, like, their conversation about it didn't really... feel like it was directed at someone like me who wasn't actually looking for this person. So that like particular episode, I did not, like, I wasn't super engaged with it for that reason.
Yeah, and I think another element that was missing for me in that particular episode was the sci-fi fantasy element. I mean, they talked about Marvel a little bit. They talked about other kind of geeky things a little bit, which I appreciated them trying to, you know, keep the themes together. But I agree. I think there was just a little bit of the sci-fi element, sci-fi fantasy element missing from that particular episode. And it did, by the end of the hour 40-ish minutes, did, I feel, drag a little.
And again, that was kind of a special episode for them, too, so that might be part of it. But so the other, what about the one that wasn't that? What about just kind of their more typical type of episode?
I like them. I think they're super engaging. I really like their different perspectives. Like, one of them's, oh, I wrote it down. Like, one of them's a mom, one of them's a working woman. So I feel like they all approach a topic from, like, slightly different perspectives, which I think really makes engaging discussion. I'm trying to look up their website, because I did look up their website yesterday, just to kind of get a longer list of the types of episodes they do, because that was, the feminist one was definitely a special. I actually forget the name of the other one. But I also listened to, on my own time, the one where they were talking about classics, and, like, we choose our own classics, thanks, which I thought was really cool. I listened to it again before I went to bed, and then I fell asleep halfway through just because I was tired, but they're very soothing in their discussions until they get fiery again, which I really like. I like that they're, like, feisty, and they stand their ground, and they have stuff to say.
I think they're a necessary element in the podcast world, but I think it also depends on what you're kind of looking for. For me, I listened to the episode where they talked about watching Fast and the Furious and the show on Netflix called The Fall, and they actually talked about the few of those a little bit at the beginning. And it felt a little bit like a recommendation podcast a little bit, especially when they're talking about, you know, the culture they're consuming. They're like, oh, yeah, this is what I watched or read, and let's talk about if it's feminist or not, which is good for people who are, you know, looking for stuff to watch or read. And I found their discussion of The Fall really interesting because I've watched it, so it was nice to hear some other people kind of analyze a show that I've already seen. But for some of the discussion, and I think this is just personal preference on my part, their discussion about things that I hadn't necessarily seen or read, I wasn't as interested in. I was more interested in hearing them talk about, like, what I've already... I've already watched, because otherwise it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, here's this thing I watched, and then here's some stuff about it. And I would rather listen to the analysis after I've already experienced it personally. But I know some people love hearing a discussion before they decide whether or not to even try it out. So that's, I think, just really... preference of a listener.
Yeah, and I was going to say that might go back to the article you and Aaron wrote about to spoil or not to spoil, and whether or not you're, like, you're a person who loves spoilers and wants to have your opinion shaped by other people's opinions, especially opinions from people you trust, to help you kind of direct you into what kind of media you should consume, or if you're a person who likes to go in blind and then form your own opinions and then converse with others who have also consumed that media and share your opinions.
That's actually an interesting thing I've discovered with novel ideas, and I promise not to show my own podcast. But because Ben and I discuss books in depth, one of the really interesting things that I've learned is, like, half of our listeners only listen to episodes of books that they've read, because they only want to listen to that discussion if they've already read the book. And then, like, half of the people that I've talked to really like listening to episodes of books that they haven't even touched, because they want to hear all about it, and then they can decide at the end of the episode whether or not they want to read it. So, I think this show might be a little bit the same way. They don't, like, do a full hour on any one thing, usually, but just keep that in mind if, you know, if you don't want to listen to an in-depth discussion of something before you've watched it or read it, then you might want to time your listening to this podcast accordingly.
That is a very good point. And actually, as I'm looking at the website, you're right about them talking about what culture they've consumed, because at the end of every episode synopsis on their website, they talk about what culture they've consumed, and they list them according to each host. It's a good way to curb which episodes you listen to if you don't want to hear about, you know, they have a whole episode on the review of season one of Orphan Black, which I really liked because I'm an avid Orphan Black watcher. And I wanted to hear what they had to say and whether or not they liked the show. I didn't get a chance to listen to that podcast yet, that episode, but I plan to. Because they did one for, I think, the first two seasons, and I didn't see one for season three, but it might be up there on their website somewhere. Oh, but what I was going to say in response to the whole, you know, whether to listen to novel ideas episodes for books I've read or haven't read, I think for me personally it's a mixed bag. I really like listening to discussions of books that I have read because I like hearing other people's opinions on the books and whether they differ from mine, but I think if it's a book I'm on the fence about, I'm willing to listen to someone else's opinion to figure out whether that will tip the scale in my favor of the book, especially if it's a person's opinion that I trust.
And I think that's the biggest point in favor of Galactic Suburbia is that if you listen to a bunch of these episodes and get to know each one of the hosts really well, then you can say, oh yeah, if so-and-so is reading this book and she likes it, then I'm guaranteed to like it.
Definitely. Yeah, I think they're a really good group, and I would probably, in time, come to trust their tastes, depending on how their tastes ran and whether or not they matched my own or not. But no, I think it was a very big step away from Dungeon Crawlers in an entirely new direction that I overall very much liked.
Any fun facts about them?
Oh, yes. So there's three hosts, which we know, Alex, Tansy, and Alyssa. They have 100 plus eps. They are hosted on Podbean. I think that's their sponsor, host. They have a website through them. They've been around since March 2010, and I have to say their website won me over. They're very cheeky on their website. The beginning of their bio is, we are three ladies and we talk a lot. We talk a lot about, and then they have a list, and then at the end, so it's like, so yeah, three ladies, we talk a lot. It's like, okay, I like you. You're winning me over.
I dig this.
I do have to say, though, the first time I saw their little logo with the three, like, it's claymation, it's like three heads sitting on a spaceship. I didn't really love it. It kind of gave me the creeps. Because it's, like, kind of noodly. It's cute. I'm fonder of it now that I've listened to their episodes. But I, like, first saw it, it came up on my iPad in, like, the full screen. And I was like, oh, this is not my favorite
thing. What is that?
This is not my favorite thing.
Yes, be warned, there's a weird claymation logo for this podcast.
So if claymation turns you off, we're letting you know. But I will say, the logo on their website's cute. It's, like, a big, hot pink cityscape skyline with, like, Saturn in the background and the words Galactic Suburbia in really cool futuristic font. It will offset the claymation for you a little bit. And I guess to kind of segue, we'll talk about a really cute logo, which is for the Sci-Fi PHI show, and it's Spock sitting on a rock in the Thinker's pose. And I just kind of rhymed there.
Yeah.
From the episodes I've listened to, I've gleaned that it's kind of just one guy talking to his audience in a stream of really thoughtful and thought-provoking monologue. The episodes, I've written myself a note, they are interesting and blissfully short. Yes, exact words. And the music bump is awesome, which I thought was important to note as well. I overall really liked this. It was an interesting departure, and I think this show's kind of, like, I don't want to say odd man out, but it is kind of the one podcast that's not like the others. So,
yeah, I was going to kind of say the same thing. It's less than 20 minutes. It's one person. I would guess that he either writes the script for the podcast ahead of time or has a very detailed outline for what he's going to say, because it's definitely not a stream of consciousness, just, oh, here's some of the stuff I wrote about, which makes it, like, very professional. And all of the other ones are a lot longer and involve, well, actually, three of them are interview format, and then four of them involve multiple people bouncing off of each other. So this was very different for those reasons.
Yes. And I'm actually really disappointed. On his website, it said that as of January 26th, it was put on hiatus. I guess he must write scripts, I'm assuming, or some, you know, the podcast is very time-consuming for him, and the host felt he couldn't continue at this time. So I'm kind of disappointed, because I really liked him, and I hope he's okay.
Yeah, he just, you know, has a full-time job and is like, well, I can't do this for a while, which I would understand.
Yes, definitely.
I think the episodes we listened to, there was one about Machiavelli and the Prince, and he ended up relating Machiavelli to Emperor Palpatine.
Yes.
And the world of Star Wars. And then the other one that I remember off the top of my head was about various utopias and why they always end up being dystopias.
They were all so interesting. I really enjoyed, I think, every single episode. I don't know if you listened to this one as well, but I also picked up the one about Cassandra and free will. First, because I thought it was going to be about the Greek Cassandra the prophet, but then it turned out to be about an AI called Cassandra from a show that I can no longer remember the name of. But it was still a very interesting episode, because it talked about what is foreknowledge and what is after knowledge and whether or not you can believe in an all-knowing God and still believe that we have free will. Because it is, they do say outright that this show does blend science and Christianity. So that might be something that a listener might want to just kind of put in the back of their mind if that's not a topic that interests them, if they're not interested in hearing about cross-sections of science and religion, but that is an element in the show. But I thought that was a very compelling episode, even though it didn't have anything Greek about it.
And I did not listen to that one, but it sounds pretty interesting. This was a sort of show more than any of the other ones. I would just recommend to just listen to an episode that sounds interesting, because it's only going to take like 20 minutes out of your day.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I thought was kind of interesting, so I really liked how he brings in the geek part of it. This is the Machiavelli episode, but one of the things that I will say is because the episodes are short and he's just kind of giving you a rundown, for the Machiavelli episode, for example, I liked the discussion at the end, tying it into Star Wars, but when he was just giving a background of Machiavelli in the print, which I think is great because most people have not read it, but if you are me and read, like, every classic in the world while you were in college because of your curriculum, for me, that background was not as enlightening just because, like, I already knew all of it, but it was over fairly fast because the episodes are short.
Mm.
So I will say that, like, if there's any episode in particular where he's talking about something that you've studied in depth, just be careful because you might be used to going into those things and, like, oh, you know, you can discuss this for hours and hours and hours, but he has a very short timeline. So he is not going to discuss in depth everything, and you have to let it go.
is true.
And just understand it's just going to be an overview. He's basically just, like, poking your thoughts a little bit and making you think and then, like, stepping back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's more of a discussion prompter than a lecturer. And
yeah,
especially for we geeks who really want to, you know, get our hands in and sink our teeth in and delve into a topic that we could talk for hours about, you will kind of feel like you've just been dropped off at one train stop and the train zooms away without you. It's like, but wait, I wanted to talk about this for forever. Come back.
Yeah, I actually think this would be maybe the best of the shows to find a friend or two and all listen to an episode so then you can talk about it.
Definitely. Especially since a lot of these topics are, you know, they go beyond the piece of media that he's talking about. Like the episode where he talks about transcendence, physicalism, and consciousness, when he talks about the idea of can the brain exist outside of the body and are you still you if your consciousness is transferred? Like, it really took me to a heightened level of scientific thinking that I found really interesting because I wasn't expecting, I guess, that much science-y science talk in a podcast that's primarily sci-fi, but I really enjoyed it, and I thought it gets to, like, the deeper heart of what these shows, movies, books are touching on within the story. But yeah, I definitely think you could do, like, a drinking night where you just kind of leisurely sit around and talk philosophy and sci-fi.
If that's what you're into, I agree. And then I will say, like, my main criticism of the show was he chose, like, a sound effect for each show to, like, split up his sections, and I did not like that.
Oh, that's so funny. I thought it was a funky artistic touch. Like, I thought it did grate on me a little bit, but I thought that it was a nice nod to how much attention he paid to the topic, because I noticed they were different. Like, first it was boot stomping for the Machiavellian one, and then it was, like, a gavel banging. But it does get a little grating when it happens so often in 14 minutes.
Yeah, it was like, Can you just, like, take a little pause and then start talking again? I'm not a big fan of that, but, yeah. I mean, it's not, like, a deal-breaker for the show.
Mm. Maybe we got all of the kind of grating music, or not music bumps, but, like, the sound effect bumps, and that maybe a lot of them have gentle chimes or, like, a ringtone or something. But yeah, that I can see where that would get a little grating. It's like when you watch Hulu and they show the same two episodes every 10 minutes for a half-hour show.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, okay, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
The first couple times, you're like, oh, it's not too bad.
That's a fair critique. But yeah, overall, so I think overall, fan, good,
yeah,
thumbs
yeah.
up.
And like I said, just go ahead and listen to it. It's not like a huge time commitment, so you're not going to get angry that you spent so much of your day doing it.
True. And this is one where, again, it's not linear. You can pick and choose topics that interest you.
Yep.
And finally, I think I would call this one the most whimsical of the five.
Yes.
Tea and Jeopardy with Emma Newman and her butler Latimer, who I found out is played, I mean, it says right on the Hugo website, Emma Newman and Peter Newman. Peter Newman plays Latimer and co-writes the show with Emma. I wasn't sure about this.
Are they spouses or siblings?
I couldn't tell. It says on their website, Emma and Peter Newman, which for some reason to me, when you do the collective last name at the end, implies to me marital status, but that might be completely false. And they don't mention that anything anywhere near in their website. So they could be siblings. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, I would just say, like, oh, yeah, Ben and Gav Roman, but I'm definitely not married to my brother, so.
Right.
That's interesting. I guess it doesn't really matter either way.
No, I'm curious. It matters for my, like, nosy self. Like, are you married? What's going on? What's going on with that status? But that's not my business. But I do think that Peter does a wonderful job as Latimer, brother or otherwise. I'd really like
to... Do you want to explain the premise of this one a little bit? Because it's a little, like you said, a little odd.
I do, yeah. I definitely think we need to do a little bit of background. So, the way this is set up is... How did I explain it in... It seemed a little choose-your-own-adventure to me. Which, I know, doesn't mean a lot when I just say that, but I'll explain that. So, Emma Newman is the host of the show, and her butler, Latimer, they're very British, and it's set in different places along the British countryside, both real and fictional. And they'll travel to breezy Scotland, or they'll say they're traveling to breezy Scotland, or I think they've done some episodes live, too. But it's always a traveling podcast, except for the Advent episodes, which we can talk about, too, because I listened to, I think, 4 of them, because they were really short, and it was a kind of a cute departure. But it's very in character, the podcast.
Uh-huh.
They're very proper, and they always take tea and cake in a particular environment, and it's an interview style, so when they bring in an author, or I believe they had a game developer and author, was one of the other episodes I listened to, and they'll ask their interviewee to bring a cherished object, and they have to explain the object that they bring with them, and Emma also has a collection of singing chickens that she will invite the interviewee to pick a song that hopefully the chickens will know, and then they will sing it for the interviewee, which is cute. And then, I kind of want singing chickens now. So then at the end of the episodes, the interviewee will disappear, and Emma and Latimer will talk with each other and kind of watch the interviewee leave wherever they're supposed to be, and they will come across monsters or other characters, or there'll be people in the tree line. One of them, I forget who they were interviewing, but he was going to go play golf, and Latimer got his golf clubs for him, and then he disappears, and he's rowing across a lake, and Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster, shows up. And he has to distract Nessie by hitting a golf ball, and she chases it, and he gets away. So that's where I kind of get, like, the kind of choose-your-own-adventure. There's a bit of storytelling and definitely a lot of whimsy mixed in. And at first I wasn't sure if I liked it, but it grew on me the more I listened to them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of had the same... At first I was like, what the heck is going on in this podcast? And I still am a little mixed about it. I'm not sure if I love the conversation at the beginning and the end where it's, you know, her and the butler talking. I'm always a little, like, about that. But one of the things I do appreciate about the show is that as someone getting interviewed, it's such a lovely departure to not just, you know, sit down, be like, okay, we're doing an interview, and then get asked a bunch of questions that you've probably been asked before. Because they let you do kind of goofy stuff where you get to talk, you know, yeah, about the outfit you're wearing or about which, you know, you're not actually there wearing that outfit or the cherished object that you brought that might be like a centaur flying around or whatever. So they kind of allow the person getting interviewed to get to be a little imaginative and creative too. And I like that they talk about things that you wouldn't typically talk about in an interview. So I thought from that perspective, I really appreciated that that it wasn't just a typical interview that you would hear on any other podcast, but I am not convinced that I love every element of Lindsay in it.
Yes, I agree. I think it took me by surprise that I had to suspend my disbelief. And I think that was kind of at the heart of why it took me a little bit to let the podcast grow on me, because I wasn't used to that kind of imaginative fabrication in a podcast. In my limited experience with podcasts, it's been real people talking in real time about real experiences or works that they've written or whatever. And, you know, an interviewee is never asked, well, how do you like your tea? Or would you like a slice of Scottish, bread or whatever. And also the podcast made me hungry, because as they were talking about shortbread and like Swedish tea cake and like things with cream on it, it's like, I just want to sit down and have tea and cake now. Once I learned to kind of expect it from the podcast, like, okay, they're in the Scottish countryside, supposedly, they're not really, but they have these pretty sound effects with birds and like the nice waterfall, and she's doing a fairly good job setting the scene for us. Okay, I can maybe get into this a little more.
Yeah, I think as long as you go into it knowing, like, that's what they do, then I think maybe if I had known ahead of time, I would have been less surprised by it.
Yes, yeah.
And I also think if you're willing to, like, I might listen to some more of this one, and I think if the intros and outros don't really grow on me, then I'll just kind of learn to live with them and be like, you know what, I like the podcast, and they're having fun, and it's different, so it's fine. Like, it's only a couple of minutes.
That's true, yeah. The intro and outro aren't too long. And you can always just stop it when the interviewee leaves. You don't have to hear about people, like, battling turrets and fighting Nessie and scanning for wizards in the treetops.
But I found the interviewees themselves, like, the interviews pretty engaging, and I enjoyed listening to them, so.
Yeah, and I thought that was. Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I think they do pick engaging people, and they do ask engaging questions when they get into the meat of the interview. So, with all of that whimsy and fanciful fun in mind, you might want to give this podcast a try and see if you are transported the way Emma and Latimer transport you. Oh, and I was going to bring up the Advent episodes where people that they've interviewed supposedly send them gifts. I don't know if you listened. I don't know if they were on our list.
I did not.
I just picked them, and I was thinking, why am I... Because they were about 3 or 4 minutes each, but they always had the singing chickens sing out the background, which was nice. And I appreciated that the chickens sounded like chickens, that they weren't people, like, in chicken costumes. They actually went like, bark, bark, bark. So.
Yeah.
As I do my lovely chicken impression for all of our...
I did like the chicken singing.
So, yeah, so it's, like, fun, kooky stuff like that. And that caps off the list of the Hugo noms. So I guess what we'll do now is discuss whether we think these are all worthy of the Hugo nom. And we'll just, I guess, go back in order. We can talk about... So we'll start with Adventures in Sci-Fi. I thought so. I mean, having no background on what, you know, what a worthy Hugo nom is supposed to look like. Anyway, I thought this did a really good job of combining all of the elements they intended in their title and just having a really engaging group of characters and talking about stuff they love.
I agree. It was very professional. I think it deserves a nomination.
And what about Dungeon Crawlers? I think we're both kind of unanimous on
how we feel. Yeah, I would be interested in talking to someone who likes Dungeon Crawlers, because just from my own personal opinion, because I just didn't care for it, I would say no. Mm. But I'd be interested in talking to someone who really likes it, because they could probably convince me that it's definitely worthy of a nomination. I just thought it wasn't as carefully put together as the other ones, so it kind of fell behind for me.
Yes, agreed. I think, and I'd also like to see if similar podcasts like Dungeon Crawlers have been nominated in the past, or from the nominator's perspective, what makes, and I guess from the members' perspectives too, what makes this a worthy nom over something else. And it could have just been the episodes we listened to. Maybe they weren't the best. Maybe a fan would say, you know, oh, you should listen to these five, and that really showcases what the podcast is actually about. Because I think one of them was a special from an arena or a location, and they were like near the DJ and the sound quality wasn't perfect. So if I heard a recommendation like a wholehearted, really enthusiastic recommendation. I'd be willing to give another episode a chance, but it wouldn't be
my top otherwise, choice. Not so much.
Yeah, it wouldn't be my top choice at all. So Galactic Suburbia. I think it's a worthy nom.
Yeah, I also do too. I think, like I said, I think it has an important place in the podcasting world as a show with three female hosts who are unabashedly, you know, talking about these things. It's definitely a worthy nomination. It wasn't like my favorite, but, you know, that's just because of my personal preference. So.
Yeah, no, totally agreed. Worthy nom, yes. Favorite podcast?
Yes.
No, but totally deserves to be in the listing.
Yeah.
And sci-fi show?
So I was going to say yes, because I think it's carefully thought out, put together well, starts good discussions. But the only thing that makes me hesitate is the fact that we're on hiatus in January, and it is now August, and that makes me wonder if it's ever coming back. And if it's not, I almost think it should be thrown out in favor of something that's currently airing.
That is a very good point, and one I hadn't considered, because my impulse was to say yes because I enjoyed it, and I thought it was an important departure and focuses on a different element in the sci-fi world. But you're right, if it isn't current and won't remain current, maybe they could have just given it, I don't want to say like a posthumous award, or just like, or I kind of wish there had been just a note that it wasn't in the running at all, but that it's... Like, just a note at the bottom, like, this podcast isn't in the running, but we want to bring it to your attention and kind of give it a nod because it's a wonderful podcast and we think it deserves your love.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, an honorable mention. That's the phrase I wanted. It's like, what's that called?
Yeah. And I really appreciate it wasn't in an interview format. It was refreshing in that way.
And finally, Tea and Jeopardy.
Yeah, so even though Tea and Jeopardy, I'm going to make a terrible pun, was not entirely my cup of tea, I still think that it's very clear they carefully think it out. They, you know, all their whimsy, you might not love it, but they clearly try, and they ask good questions and lead different types of interviews. So I think for all of that, it's definitely worthy of a nomination.
Totally agree. And I also think that because it touches on more of the fantasy side of the sci-fi fantasy duo, that it's also a departure enough that I think it deserves attention. Because I feel like not a lot of podcasts are doing what they do, if any others. Cool. Okay, so to round off this episode, I thought it might be fun if we cast our vote and ranked these podcasts from favorite to least favorite, or from winner to, you know, runner fifth. And if you'd like to start, Gabs?
I will state for the record that I had a very clear one and five. And for the ones in the middle, they're like a little more tenuous for me because I liked different things about each one of them. And if you ask me tomorrow, I might rate them a little differently. So just a disclaimer. But with that said, my favorite podcast, one I would choose to win, is Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing. My number two, I picked Tea and Jeopardy. Number three, Sci-Fi Show. Number four, Galactic Suburbia. And then my least favorite was Dungeon Crawlers Radio.
That's actually hilarious and wonderful because that's pretty much almost exactly the way I listed them too. I had Adventures in Sci-Fi as my number one and Dungeon Crawlers as my number five. And then I have Tea and Jeopardy and the Sci-Fi Show as 2 and 2 plus, and then I have Galactic Suburbia as 3. Because I kind of felt like Tea and Jeopardy and Sci-Fi tied for second in my heart. And I really wanted to make Galactic Suburbia also tie for second, but I thought I had to, like, stop being so diplomatic and just put them in order.
Yeah, I was kind of hesitant to make Galactic Suburbia 4 because I don't think it's bad. If I was going to... Moving forward, I will probably listen to more episodes of Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing. I'll probably listen to more episodes of Sci-Fi Show and Tea and Jeopardy, but I'm not sure if I'll listen to more of Galactic Suburbia, so.
My really only point of contention was that the episodes for me were a little long, and I started to lose interest at the end. And I think that was what got me for Dungeon Crawlers, besides the other stuff we talked about with them. But that was another kind of detriment. Maybe I'm just a lazy listener, but I thought 2 hours was...
Hey, you know what? There are all different kinds of podcast listeners, and that's totally fine.
That's true. Thank you. That does make me feel better. Because I'm sure they are worthy of attention. I mean, they've been nominated. They have to have fans somewhere, right? So
exactly.
They just might not be for me. But yeah, I think with Galactic Suburbia, just the length was that one thing that kind of pushed it down the list for me. But yeah, so I guess we'll just have to see what happens when the award listings come out this week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. Goodness. Well, I bet they're all on tenterhooks waiting.
We'll have to do a little, post-awards paragraph write-up or something.
Absolutely. I would definitely be in favor of that. I guess we'll have to... I know what... It would be... I don't want to say it'd be funny if Dungeon Crawlers win, but it would be humorous to see the one that was our least favorite. But if it does, then it's worthy of it. And, congratulations to whoever wins in advance. And congratulations to all nominees in all categories, because this is a huge honor. And you must all be really excited.
And if Dungeon Crawlers 3 wins, maybe I'll be like, you know what? Maybe I should listen to another episode of this thing.
Yeah, that's true. I'd have to find a topic that really, really grabs my attention. All right, listeners, I guess that about wraps up our episode. Thank you again, Gabs, for joining us.
But of course.
It's been such a pleasure, as always. And I don't even know what we're listening to next week. I can't even give a shout-out about it. Do we have anything in mind?
I think you and Aaron are listening to Sawbones.
Ah, awesome. All right, well, I will be in touch with her. We'll hate to lose you, but I'm sure you'll be around for more episodes in the future, I hope.
I might listen to Sawbones and speak on the episode anyway, so...
Please do. The more the merrier. But, okay, so we have that to look forward to next week. And once again, I'm Olivia, and this is the Virgin Podcaster. If you found us through Minerva's website, then you know that we're at www.minervamag.com. You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at WoodsWords27. Please leave comments below if you liked this podcast, want to cast your vote for which Hugo Nom you'd like to see win, or if you have recommendations for more podcasts for me, please let me have them. I'd love to learn more about the podcast world with your help. And we also have a Facebook page, so you can feel free to contribute on there as well. And we also have a Tumblr.
I would just like to also throw out that this is one of four podcasts that Minerva does. So if you like it and you are interested, we do update with a different podcast every Thursday.
Yeah, we have Bardolatry, which is Shakespeare-driven. We have Novel Ideas, which Gab co-hosts with her brother, that talks about novels and books, which is awesome. And we also have Nostalgia Myalgia, which Erin hosts and talks about all things nostalgia. And they're all great and all fantastic, and you should check them all out and check back in. As Gab said, we update quite frequently, so we'd love to see you back, or hear you back, since this is a podcast. Until next time, I wish I had a pithy sci-fi sign-off, but To Infinity and Beyond is taken and copyrighted, so I can't use it. But until next time, happy listening. Thanks. Bye.